Friday evening. I'm Casey Dyer, and this is the place you can hear short tales for wise kids, wayward grown-ups, and for everyone who knows that you are never too old to listen to a bedtime story.
Good evening. We're going to leap into part three of Nethermoor. This part of the story is called The Rules, and we're going to learn a little bit more about Sam and Ellie. Here we go. The Rules. Hope you enjoy it. So, what if everything you knew for certain turned out to be wrong? Every law of physics, every expectation of social behavior, everything. You know, I guess it's like being a baby again, not able to filter anything, just watching in amazement, crying when it hurts, sleeping through most of it because the shock of it is just too damned overwhelming. But babies do grow up. It happens all the time. Astronauts must get a taste of it too, at least the physics part. I mean, they are scientists first, right? At least most of them. They're used to rigorous standards of testing. But you know, if you read the accounts, the real accounts, you discover they get pretty freaked out when the laws they've come to believe in, just like everybody else, when those laws are shown to be false. I've heard where the biggest and toughest of the astronauts, the early ones, who were soldiers and fighter pilots first, who've seen it all, man. I've heard where even they have broken down and cried. Like a baby. So you know what? Let's go there. Back to being born. Back to believing that anything is possible. Because that's what happened to me. The pain must have been enough to knock me out again, because this time when I came to, I wasn't bouncing like a sack of potatoes on the back of a running man. My face was mashed up against the glass on the inside of a car. Of... kind of a car. It was more like the cockpit of my plane, to tell you the truth, but since the bad thing had happened, it seemed my mind didn't want to go there. So let's stick with car, shall we? It was dark outside, so I could really only tell that we were moving because the lights were shooting by. Little teeny lights. The speed at which they moved by made me nauseous, so I pulled my face off the glass and redirected my gaze inside. Sam was slumped into a worn-looking leather seat, peering at a screen and eating something that smelled like chocolate out of a paper bag. Periodically he'd grunt, lean forward and poke a button on the panel in front of him, and then settle back to the nosh. "You back?" he said at last, having caught sight of me, staring blearily in his direction. "Good. Maybe you can help out a little, eh? This manualing it really blows." "I'm not back," I said, and closed my eye again. The other eye was itching something terrible. Most of me was itching, now that I thought about it. "Don't get pissy," Sam said, and even though my eyes were closed, I could hear the gentle spray of chocolate pattering down as he spoke. "I got you out of there. You need me. And it's time you start pulling your weight." "Look," I said. And then I stopped for a minute because I couldn't really look at anything that clearly myself, the eye being non-functional at all. "Here's the thing," I began again. "I don't know where the hell we are. In fact, I don't know who the hell we are, apart from you telling me your name is Sam. One of my eyes is less than useless, and my body feels like it's being eaten by fire ants. How am I doing anything besides sitting here and howling at the moon is basically a miracle. So, I am pulling just about as much weight as I can, okay?" "Which moon?" he said, shooting me another one of his obnoxious smirks. I stared back at him, refusing the banter bait. That always used to drive him. I sat up abruptly at the thought. Paid the price in a pounding skull, too, but it was almost worth it. That always used to drive him crazy. "What?" he said, narrowing his eyes, and I realized I'd spoken aloud. I just remembered something, I muttered, and leaned back in my chair. But he was having none of it. He crushed the empty bag and tossed it into a corner behind his seat, adding to the pile of similarly crumpled trash. Then he leaned forward and stuck his face close enough that I could smell the chocolate on his breath. Ran a finger through my hair behind one ear. I winced and pulled my head away, but he persisted, prodding me gently behind the ear with his blunt forefinger. Damnation, Al. All this time, I thought you were just playing with me. Ooh, Sammy, I hit my head. Can't remember nothing, brother.
Brother?
When all along you were just waiting me out. I expected that eye to pop open and feel a knife in my ribs any time now, but... He leaned back and crossed his arms. The smirk was gone.
But what?
But your chip's missing, Eleonora. There's a nice little hole in the side of your head where it should be. So maybe this forgetting thing is not an act after all. Before he'd finished this little speech, my own investigation confirmed what he was saying. It was a raw wound behind my left ear. Even with only one eye working, I could see the blood on my fingertips as I pulled them away. My head swam a little at the sight.
You're not going to jank all over me again, are you? He said, leaning back warily.
I shook my head and then regretted it.
Have you got a piece of gauze or something I can put on it? I'm still bleeding in case you didn't notice.
He rolled his eyes, but dug around in a bin beside the console until he came up with a little blue box. There might be something in there you can use, he said, and tossed it on the floor at my feet. I bent over to grab it, head throbbing, when I realized I was seeing the box in stereo vision again. Red hazed, but definitely bioptic. The car began to rock a little, and Sam, swearing under his breath, leaned into the console. I rooted around in the little box until I found a square of cotton at the bottom, wrapper half missing. I pulled it out and pushed it against the spot behind my ear, which felt suspiciously squishy. The car was rocking steadily from side to side by this time, so I left Sam to his navigation and tried to piece together what our conversation had given me so far. The crash, I remembered. Or rather, I remembered Roger sitting beside me in the cockpit. It had been my first night flight. But apart from the fact that meant I'd been flying before, I couldn't come up with anything. All I had was the image of Roger, that little frozen smile on his face. And after that, nothing until I had come to with this guy's mouth on my own. I twisted my seat a little so I could stare at him while he was busy trying to keep us upright on whatever bumpy road we were hurtling along. He'd said his name was Sam, and he'd called me Eleonora, but either of us might have well have been called Nebuchadnezzar for all the bells those names rang. He'd used the expression brother, referring to something I'd said, and you'd think I'd remember a minor little detail like that. But staring at his face, I had no recollection that he was any relation to me at all. And yet, I'd had that sense that I'd once liked to drive him crazy. I strained that one until my head hurt again, but nada. After a while, for something to do with my hands, I pulled the gauze away from my wounded scalp. Stared at it, the lights from the dash flickering almost as fast as those flying by outside the glass. It came away dry, no blood at all. So, I unwound the bandage from the palm of my left hand. There was no sign of the hideous, dirt-filled gash that he'd wrapped up for me after the crash. Not even the white line of a scar. My seat started to buck underneath me, and Sam muttered, "You might want to lock in, smartass." I dropped the gauze on the floor between my feet and felt around my seat until I grabbed a belt. Stared at it stupidly for a moment before realizing it was a four-pointer rather than a lap belt. As I snapped it on, my seat gave an almighty leap and Sam yelped, jamming his feet under the dashboard as he snapped his own belt in place. "This is on you," he hissed at me. "I won't forget how you repaid my help." I opened my mouth to reply, but we were bumping so hard my teeth knocked together before I could get a word out. Sam leaned forward as far as his belt would stretch, grinned suddenly at the screen in front of him, prodded the button a last time, and vanished. The road instantly smoothed out beneath the vehicle, and I coasted through the darkness, staring open-mouthed at a silvery shimmer of blue light as it winked out above the now empty seat beside me.
there you have it. That's the rules. That's part three of Nethermoor. Night Flight was the first part, Crash was the second part, and this part was the rules. So I hope you like it so far. I really like it. I'm just having fun writing it because I have no idea what I'm doing as I go along, but it's pretty fun, and I'm trying to channel, as I said last week, trying to channel Roger Zelazny as I write this with a little bit of a different feel. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. This is week 48. That means we have 4 more weeks of stories this year. And I wonder what I'm going to do after I finish week 52. I haven't decided. I guess we'll see. It's getting to that season, though. And if you're looking for gifts, please go to your bookstore, ask for books by Casey Dyer, or send me an email and I can sign a copy of a book and send it off to you. We can figure that out. So I hope you're enjoying these stories. There's more to be found at podomatic.com, or you can dig around on my website. There's tons there. Something to listen to on a Friday night. And look at that. It's 12:45. Of course, I do still have to do all the sorting and mixing and uploading, but got the story done before midnight anyway, so I wish you the best of good, dark, safe evenings, and we'll see you next week. Good night.